Is daf mem tes. So we got to the very last line, the last four words on mem ches mem beis. We were discussing yesterday how the needle would enter into the liver, going inwards or outwards, the blunt end, the pointy end. So the Gemara had said there's a difference depending on which direction the needle was facing. So the Gemara says the very last line now, mem ches mem beis. Mai shnob mi machat shen nimtes. What's the difference of a needle that was found? Going on to Memtes now, Boove Besakoso, so the part of the areas of the stomach where the digestive tract went through, the lacha there is, Mitzad Echad Kshera, if it punctures through one of the walls of the stomach, it's still kosher, but Mishneit Stadim Trefa, if it passes through and through both walls, so then it's going to be Trefa. We don't say, let's see the direction of the needle. Either way, it's going to be a problem. So why, by this case, we say it doesn't make a difference to the direction, as opposed to yesterday's daf, we discussed the direction does make a difference. So the Gemara answers, Amri Hasam over there, but the case of the Beis HaKosos, Kevin De'ika Ochlem Mashkin, Ema Ochlem Mashkin Dechaku. Since by the case of there being one hole in the Beis HaKosos, since there's a lot of food there and putting pressure in there, it's still very possible that it put the head first into the wall. I mean, it doesn't make a difference which way it went in. And when it comes in just a natural track, so it has to be the sharp end is the only way it's able to penetrate into the walls, and therefore it does make a big difference the direction in which it's facing. When you're dealing with a digestive tract, where there's food putting pressure, it's possible that the food could create pressure, and even the blunt end could create a puncture in the base of kosos, making it a treif if it goes mishnei tzad. And that's the difference, says the Gemara. Gemara now says a few lines down. Hahu machta. They found a needle that was in the larger blood vessel of the liver. So the Gemara din is, what is this, a trefa? Is this not a trefa? So Huna Mar Bre de Rav Idi Tarfi said this is a trefa. Rav Ada Bar Men Yumi Machshi, he says no, this is permitted. So Asa Shailua Le Ravina. They went to Ravina to Machriya the din, and the Ravina Paskin Damar Lahu Shkila Glima de Trofa. I take away the cloak, the clothing of the one who Paskin, this is a trefa. This in fact is considered a kosher animal. It's not going to be a trefa. Why not? So he explains down here, based on a Rashi though, the article explains that it's unlikely that a needle punctured the way out of a digestive tract that would be found in the blood vessel. It's very unlikely that it happened. The fact that you find this in the big blood vessel in the liver, the most likely scenario is it came down the normal path through the vessels into the liver. It didn't come from the outside to create a hole. And for that reason, it's kosher. Gemara now says, Ahu kishasya dishtakach bimari. You found a date pit that was stuck in the gallbladder. So the din is, Amar Rav Ashi ki avinin bei Rav Kahana. When I was in the base medrash of Rav Kahana, he paskin damar havadai simpona nakid vasi. It certainly came down the vascular tract route, certainly came down the proper way, in which case it ended up in the gallbladder in the normal way, down the whole system of the animal, and it would not be considered trefa. That's still kosher. V'afagav d'lo konafki, even though the pit's not coming out of the gallbladder, it's stuck there in the gallbladder, can't come out, that's fine. Mirbalahu de ravule. I mean, the fact that it's stuck in the gallbladder indicates it doesn't fit nicely through the different pipes. So normally most food that could get to the gallbladder could also exit the gallbladder. So how come this date pit got to the gallbladder but wasn't able to exit? Doesn't that indicate it did not come through the natural track? To which Gemara says, no, mirbalahu de ravule. It's possible it could shake down the animal, kind of the movement shakes into the gallbladder, but once it gets in the pouch of the gallbladder, the size is too big, it can't really exit, and that's not a trefa. But honey mealy de dikla, it's only true of a date pit, where it's it's round. Aval dezesa mivza buzzy, but an olive, which is very sharp at the tip of the olive, it's possible it came to the gallbladder from outside, it penetrated from outside the gallbladder, which means the only way it got into the gallbladder was through a hole that it made in the gallbladder. That would be, if there's an olive pit, it would actually be trefa. The Rambam at Paskins points out, even though if it really came from the outside, shouldn't there be a hole in the gallbladder if the olive really came from the outside? The Rambam says it's possible that the gallbladder healed, and that's why you don't find a hole. So therefore, the end is, if there's a date that's stuck in the gallbladder, the only way into the gallbladder is through the normal tract, and it's kosher. But if there's an olive that's stuck in the gallbladder, it's possible it came from the outside and penetrated through the walls of the gallbladder, which would make the animal into a trefa. Gemara now says, Amar b'yochanan, lama nikra shema reya. Why do you call a longer reya? What's the term reya? Reya means to see. So shemeir es haynayim, the ability to see. Actually, this week's parsha, so the Rav Pinchas Karetz is talking about the Indian of the tzipur and the azyashir and the shira. All that comes from the ability to have a reya, the ability to have big lungs, and he connects it to the ability for birds to see far away. He connects the whole Indian of lungs and seeing and singing, all the same idea based on this week's parsha. But either way, the pashup shot of the word reya is shemeir es haynayim, that somehow the lungs are able to give brighten a person's vision. So Ibailu, they wanted to know how exactly did that work. Lachila o al yidei samanim. Is this through eating or is it through adding different spices and other combinations of herbs to it? So Gemara says, Tashma d'amarav huna bar Yehuda avza bezuza bereya dida barba. He pointed out, if you buy an entire goose, you could pay one zuz, but if you want to pay for the lung itself is four zuz. So the Gemara explains, Visak adaitech lachil, if you're telling me all you have to do is eat the lungs to give you better vision, so linko bezuz of lechel, buy a whole lung, rather a whole goose for one zuz, and you get the lungs included. So it must be when you say the goose is one zuz, and the lungs are four zuz, it must be the lungs with all the various herbs to make it beneficial for your vision. That's when it's four zuz, because I had all the other medication making it healthy for your vision. And it must be ayudei simanim. We don't have lungs now. You can't buy lungs teeth. I think I saw somewhere that lungs are full of worms and bugs. You can't really check them well, and therefore we don't find lungs. So
used to be, but
nowadays, I guess.
The Department of Health has to do with the health. Has to do with the Department of Health.
Oh, yeah? Interesting. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Inakva Reya Hecha de Mimashmisha Yodei de Tabach. Let's say they found a hole in the lung, a place where the Tabach, where the Shoche would move his finger. The footnote points out here, it seems to be that we check the lungs all over the place, but when we check the lungs normally, we don't put it in such a place, we don't press it to make punctures. There's apparently from this Gemara here, it indicates that they would poke away the lung and they would sometimes make holes in them. So let's say they poked and they create a hole with their finger. They weren't sure if they create a hole, but they found the hole there. It's Mamish exact place where he poked it. They found the hole. Could you attribute the hole to his poking of the finger? Or perhaps the hole was there beforehand and he happened to poke it where the hole existed beforehand. So Gemara says, Talinan or lo Talinan? Do we attribute the hole in the lung now to his poking and therefore the animal is actually kosher? Or we're not Talinan and we have to assume the hole was there prior to his poking? So the Gemara explains, Rav Ada bar Nasan Amar, Talinan, we are tola the hole on his poking around. Mar Zucha Bred Rav Mari Amar, lo Talinan, we don't attribute it to his poking, we would render this animal a trefa. How do we paskin? The Gemara says, Vehilchasa Talinan, we assume we do attribute the hole to the poking around of the butcher. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bred Rabbi Abohu, Amar Abba, Meresha Kala the Rafram Hava. He said that his father, Shmuel said that his father was in charge of all the Yarche Kalas in Rafram's area, and Va'amar Talinan, and he said, we are Tola, the hole on the poking around of the Shochet. Samura Kame Leha de Mar Zucha Breder of Mari Vilo Kibli. They reported this way, and he didn't accept it. And then Amar of Misharshia, Kivasi Davua de Abba, Mestavra, the view of my grandfather, where we do attribute, where we do say Talinan, is the Hatalinan Bezev. We have a similar case, the first parak in Chulin Taurus, that if, let's say, the Zev took away some of the intestines, and then you were able to retrieve the intestines, you found holes in the intestines, you are able to attribute, you are able to say Talinan to the biting of the Zev. So here as well, just like you say Talinan by the Zev, so you could say Talinan that the holes came from the fingers, the poking around of the shofar. Gemara now says Murna. What's Murna? Murna is a parasitic type of worm. Some type of parasites in the lungs. So let's say you find some parasites there. So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rav Yosef bar Dusa v'Rabbanim, Chadam ar Kodem Shchita Parish. Some say that the worms left already. You found some holes from the worms, so you say that they left before the Shchita. So therefore, the holes existed from the worms before the Shchita. That means it's a trefa. And Chadam ar La'acha Shchita Parish. No, after you shechted the animal, the worms wanted to get out. There's nothing for it to sustain itself, so it was able to poke holes, and they only came after the Shchita, which would mean that the Shchita was kosher. It was not yet a trefa. And the bottom line is, Vehilchas La'acha Shchita Parish. We assume that it came after the Shchita. They left, and therefore there were no holes beforehand. It was a good Shchita. It was not a trefa.
Interesting, it doesn't give any timing, no?
In terms of?
Was 10 minutes after the Shechita or a day after Shechita.
Oh, you're saying you shech the right way and immediately you see holes there, so unlikely, right?
It would seem that it's there. That the halacha doesn't make a difference.
Good point. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how fast the worms move. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer ad shitinakev. So going back to the Mishnah, now the Mishnah taught us that when there's a hole in the lung, so Rabbi Shimon said it has to go all the way through to some of the different lobes of the lung. So Amar Abba bar Tachlifa, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba ad shitinakev l'simpon gadol, has to penetrate into the larger bronchus of the lung. So Yosef Rav Acha bar Abba kamei de Rav Huna. He was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and Rav Acha said, "V'Yosef Kamar." He said, "What? Amar Rabbi Moloch, that was the name. Amar Rabbi Shuben Levi halacha k'Rabbi Shimon paskin this way, which is what that it has to penetrate through into the tinakev v'simpon gadol." So then Amar Le Moloch Arva Kamris. So he said, "Are you referring to Moloch from Arabia? Is that the Rav Moloch you're referring to?" Ain halacha Rabbi Shimon Kamar. He's the one who actually holds we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't have to penetrate so deep inside the lung. So Kisalak Rabbi Zera, and Zera left from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera Ashechel Rav Bivi the Yosef Vikamar. He saw that Rabbi Bivi was once sitting down and learning. Amar Rabbi Malach, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, halacha Rabbi Shimon. We pass in like Rabbi Shimon. So Amar Lei Chaya Demar says, in the name of Mar, in the name of Rabbi Bivi, the An of Rabbi Chia, I, Rabbi Bivi, Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Rav Asi, all of us hold, or at least one time rather, Iklarin Lasre the Rabbi Malach. We went to visit Rabbi Malach himself. V'Amri Lei, and we asked him this question, I Amar Mar Halacha Rabbi Shimon, do you hold like Rabbi Shimon or not? Amar Lan, he told us, Ein Halacha Rabbi Shimon Amri. So how come you guys keep quoting him that he says, Ki Rabbi Shimon, when in fact he told us that Ein Halacha Rabbi Shimon? That Mabiyadcha. So he says, then they ask, what do you hold, how do you paskin regarding the whole of the lung? Amalei, Hach Yam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ami, we have a tradition that Am Rabbi Shimon Levi, Halacha, Ki Rabbi Shimon. So confusion, who said what? In the end of the day, the Gemara paskin Ve'ein Halacha, Ki Rabbi Shimon, which means if there's a hole in the lung, it does not need to penetrate all the way into the Simpon Hagadol. Gemara now said, based on the Mishnah said, Nikva hakeva. If there was a hole in the part of the stomach, that would render the animal a trefa. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yeshaya, V'chelev shalgave hakeva. There's fat all over the inside of the animal, so one of the fats were on the keva, on the stomach. So that fat, that chelev, is on the keva. Kohanim nahagu bo heter. The Kohanim would actually eat it. That's part of the gift that they would get. They would get the keva as part of the gifts. The Zerah L'chaim V'keva, the pasuk in, I think it's Shoftim, it says that we give different parts of the animal. When you have a chulin animal, regular chulin animal, we have 24 matnas kuna. Most matnas kunas have davar shebekedusha. It's truma and chala, but there is from a regular chulin animal that you have to give every part of the animal to the kohen. The chelev, the Zerah L'chaim V'keva. Zerah is an arm, L'chaim or the cheek area, and the keva is part of the stomach. So that keva would go to the kohen. And it's brought down here that not only would they be able to eat the keva itself, but even the chelev, the fat that surrounds the keva, was permitted as well. So this was, again, Kohanim Nagu Boheter, Ki Rabbi Shmuel Shamar Mishum Avosav. That was the tradition Rabbi Shmuel had from his fathers. Fine. So the Gemara then says, V'simanach, what's the mnemonic to remember this? Yishma Kohana Messiah Kohanim. Yishma, who was a Kohen, he helped the Kohanim themselves. He was said that only was the keva permitted, but even the chelev, Sha'al Gabe Keva, is permitted as well. So Mahi, where do we see that Rabbi Shmuel in general? It sounds like a generic statement, that in general, Yishmael helped support Kohanim. Where else do we find such a concept of Yishmael being Messiah the Kohanim? So Gemara explains the Tzani, there's an interesting machlokus here by Birchas Kohanim. Gemara says, Ko Sivarachu es B'nei Yisrael, says the Pasuk in Parshas Naso. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lamadnu Bracha L'Yisrael, Mipi Kohanim. We do see that this is Ko Sivarachu is telling us that Kohanim give a bracha to Am Yisrael. L'chohanim atzman lo lamanu, but we don't find anywhere that Kohanim themselves receive a bracha. How do Kohanim get a bracha? They give brachas, but they don't receive a bracha. That's not fair to them. So it says Rabbi Shmuel, Kishu Omer v'ani avarchem, when it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to give a bracha, Havi Omer Kohanim mevarchem l'Yisrael, the Kohanim give brachas to Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevarch l'Kohanim. So they get a bracha directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. That's Rabbi Shmuel's understanding. Comes along Rabbi Kiva Omer, he argues and says no. Lamanu bracha l'Yisrael mipi kohanim. We see that Klal Yisrael receive brachas from kohanim, but mipi gvura lamanu. But where does Bnei Yisrael receive a bracha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly? So he explains, Kishu Omer v'ani avarchem. It says, ani avarchem, giving a bracha to someone who is them. Havi Omer, kohan mevarchem l'Yisrael, but Kadosh Baruch Hu maskim al yadam. The kohanim are giving the brachas, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gives his stamp of approval. So that's the debate, how to teach a pasuk v'ani avarchem. Is it Kadosh Baruch Hu giving a bracha to kohanim, or the Kadosh Baruch Hu giving a bracha to Am Yisrael? So asks the Gemara, so now according to Rabbi Kiva, Eli Rabbi Kiva, bracha l'kohanim minale. Where does Rabbi Kiva say that kohanim receive brachas? They give brachas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives brachas, but kohanim never receive a bracha. So Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, me from the word me, Vavarcha Mivarecha, when it comes to Pasuk in Parshas Lechacha, Amar Vino, so it says, I will bless Vavarcha Mivarecha, that you're going to give a bracha, I will bless those who bless you. So, what does that mean? So since Kohanim give brachas to someone else, the Kadosh Baruch Hu in turn is going to give a bracha to the Kohanim. And that's the source of the brachas to Kohanim. So then the Gemara says, my Messiah, Kohani. So where do you see, how come that's a Messiah? They both agree that Kohanim receive brachas. Rabbi Kiva says that Kohanim get brachas, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that Kohanim receive brachas. There's different sources, but in the end of the day, a Kohen gets a bracha as well. So where do you see that in the Messiah, that somehow Rabbi Shmuel supports Kohanim more? So Gemara explains that Demoki la lebirchas Kohanim bimakom bracha di Yisrael. So this is a cryptic statement, unclear what it means here. But the title of the statement is that birchas Kohanim are in place of the bracha of Am Yisrael. So the Rashi's understanding, at least, is you see Rashi, the last Rashi in the entire Amud says bimakom bracha di Yisrael, etzal birchas Yisrael dehachi adifa. Well, according to Rabbi Kiva, it sounds like Kohanim are being blessed separately. Rabbi Shmuel included the Kohanim with the bracha that Klal Yisrael is getting. They were all included as part of the Tzibur. We know when Tefillah B'Tzibur, it's a greater type of Tefillah, so in a similar way, when the bracha is given as part of the Berov Am, it's a greater bracha, so that's why Rabbi Shmuel explains that there's a greater bracha to Kohanim than is understood by Rabbi Akiva. Take a look for a moment at the Tosos on the side here, Vavarcha Mevarecha. He writes, "Vafilu ov de kochavim amavarchem Yisrael mizbarchen." This concept of those who give brachas, they then in turn receive the bracha. So says Tosos, even though we discussed this a couple weeks ago on a Friday night, even though a yid may not give a bracha to a goy because lo sechanim, you can't give free things. If a goy were to give a bracha to Am Yisrael, they would in turn receive a bracha. It's based on Yushalmi, says Tosos. Kedis of Yushalmi, the brachos. Who Ovid Kochavim, a certain guy, the Yav Shlomo Rabbi Shmuel. He said hello. He gave greetings to Rabbi Shmuel. Amar lo, Milsecha Kvar Amura. So your words already have said, what does that mean? Perish. Eino Tzarech Lachzeh L'chashom. I don't need to respond and greet you back. Shebirchascha Ksuva Mevarecha Mevarecha. The moment you gave me Shalom, you gave me Bracha, that turned back and, you know, that was almost reflected that you received your own Bracha as well. So if a goy wants to get a bracha from a yid, he should get a bracha to a Jew, and that reflects back on him. That's an eitzah in. Okay, the Gemara now says last line of the page, last two lines of the page here. Gemara explains that Rabbi Shmuel Shamar Mishum Avosav Mahi. So we had referred to just above that Rabbi Shmuel was quoting from his avosa, from his fathers, his ancestors, that the chelev al gabe keva are permitted to the kohanim as well. So what's this statement? So Gemara quotes a brayso, the Tanya, ves kol ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev. So all the fat that's on the innards, so what's the din? So that's also one zalati, that's a iser of kares. So Gemara then says, going on to the base now, lahavi chelev asher al gabi adakin. There's extra vav here in the pasuk. Right, it says in the pasuk, ve'es ha-chelev asher al ha-kerev. What's the vav doing? That comes to include the chelev that's on the dakin, that's on the intestines, that too is going to be aser, divrei Rebbe Yishmael. So, fine. So we see that from this, though, it's not included, right? So you're not allowed to eat this part of the animal. So then the Gemara says, 1 second. This other way around. Hold on 1 second. The Pasuk says on the side here, Vikriv, it says, Vikriv v'ashel, Vikriv mizevach ha-shamim ishel ha-shem, eis ha-chelev ha-mechase es ha-kerev, v'eishka ha-chelev ha-shel ha-kerev. So you take all the fat that covers innards, and you bring it as part of the carbon. And the Gemara says included in this is the chelev that's on the gabi adak, and that's on the innards, that also gets thrown on top, which implies the chelev that's on the keva is not going on the mizbeach, that's actually permitted. So that's the statement of Rabbi Shmuel, that the chelev al-keva is allowed. Kalmas long Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lahavi Chelo Shah Gabi Akeva. He argues, says, no, the Vav is coming to include the fat on the Keva does not go to the Kohen, it actually goes on the Mizbeach. So we see there's a machlokis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, what to do with the Cheleva Agabi Akeva. Is it on the Mizbeach or is it eaten by the Kohanim? Fine, so that's the Zim. Gemara now quotes a Brisa, which says the complete opposite about where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel stand in regards to machlokis of the chelev on the keva. So Gemara quotes Yerminhi. That's the pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, ma chel hamechas es hakerev krum v'niklaf. Just like the fat that covers the kerev, which is mentioned in the pasuk, is something that has some type of membrane on it and it's able to be easily peeled off. Af kol karum v'niklaf. So to all other fats that has a membrane is able to be peeled off, and that apparently is implying the chel v'gabe keva. That's how the how it's made. So there we see Rabbi Shmuel actually says it's usur to eat the chalev al gabe keva, against what he had said earlier. Rabbi Kiva has a different definition. Rabbi Kiva Omer on this brisa, ma chalev hamechases hakerev tosav, karim v'nikov. He adds a third dimension here. Tosav means it like hangs over as a drape. The way it's positioned in the animal, it's draping over. So it's a drape, and then it's a membrane, and then it peels off. Those are three attributes of the chalev that's mechases hakerev. So af, so too, kol, tosav, any other type of fat that drapes over, that's karam, that has a membrane, and v'nikov, and can be peeled off easily. And apparently, according to this understanding, this would not include chelav agabe keva, which would mean that chelav agabe keva is permitted, according to Rabbi Kiva. So we see that they flip everything around. So where does Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva stand? So Gemara says, Shalach Rabin Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, he sent a message in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kach Hiatza Shamisha, this is how the mission should be understood, V'epach Kamaisa, and you should reverse the first brisa, the first appearance of their positions. Meaning we should conclude that Rabbi Shmuel says the Keva, Chel V'Gabe Keva is Usur, and Rabbi Akiva thinks it's Mutter. The Gemara wants to know, my chazuz da'apach is kamaisa. Why are you flipping around the sheet of the first brisa as opposed to ipach bas brisa? Let's switch around the second brisa that we just brought. And the Gemara says, because shiny hach, in this case is different, kaven the katani ma, in quotations, dafkav. Meaning the second brisa was more descriptive. So you imagine the brisa that's more descriptive and compares the different attributes of the fat would be more precise. So therefore the second brisa is more precise, and the first one, which is very abridged, it just said their position but didn't explain it, that we're willing to switch over. So again, what comes out in the end is that Rabbi Shmuel thinks chelav agabe akeva is asur, Rabbi Kiva thinks it's mutter. So that being said, the Gemara says there's a problem. Ihachi, Rabbi Shmuel, we said above that the Kohanim have a heter of eating the Chel V'Gabe Keva like Rabbi Shmuel. It shouldn't be. Now that we switch things around, it should be Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who holds the Chel V'Gabe Keva is a mutter. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Sh'amar Mishum Avosa V'Leilo Srile. Rabbi Shmuel was quoting Mishum Avosa, the Gemara said. It says, quoting his ancestors to say such a thing, but he himself personally didn't paskin this way, and therefore he said, therefore, it would be according to him, would be usur, but the Quran apparently passed on Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel's Avosav that thought it was mutter. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav, Rav held the chel of Tar sosim, tame eino sosim. So when it comes to different punctures of the stomach, so if it's fat, that's permitted to be eaten. Tar doesn't mean tar of a tumah, like we talk tumah of a tara, it means usur mutter, really. So chel, that's tar, which means it's mutter to be eaten, has the ability to be sosim, has the ability to seal, to plug a hole. And if it's a tame, if it's a non-kosher, if it's a usur fat, it doesn't have the ability. Now, that really has nothing to do with being usur mutter. It has to do with that meat, which happens to be usur, has a different texture to it. It's too hard, it doesn't stick well, different explanations why it doesn't work. But that category of usur fats doesn't have the physical ability to plug a hole properly, while the fats that happen to be kosher do have the softness and the stickiness to plug a hole. That's according to Rav. Yeah.
Go back the other way, that's how we tell which is usur and which is mutter, by its texture, or is it based on location?
I believe based on location, but they obviously have what to do with each other. So look, you can probably do either way, meaning you probably, the siba is the location. Happens to have a attribute that sticks. So I'm sure if you find, I wonder if you could test kosher fat by seeing how sticky it is. I wonder if that's a good test or not. So that's how Rafi splits between chelav tar versus chelav tamit. Rav Sheshes comes along and Amar says, no, echad zeh, so same. Doesn't make a difference whether the fat is us or mutter. Both types of fat have the ability to seal a hole. So Gemara asks a question now, Bai Rabbi Zeira, chelav chaya mahu. What's the din? What about the fat of a wild animal? So Gemara says, Dafka Amar Chelav Tahor, so same. Do we say only Chelav Tahor, so same? Bahai Nami Tahor. The Chelav of a Chaya actually is permitted. There's no Chelav that's usur by a Chaya. So a deer's fat is all mutter. So would we say now all the fat of a deer has the ability to puncture a hole? or Dilma Mishum de Mahadik, or is it really based on the ability for it to stick? And Baha'i Lo Mahadik, and apparently the Chalev of, at least not all the Chalev of the Chaya, doesn't have the ability to be Mahadik, in which case it should be, should not be permitted. So is it based on, again, the status of being Aser versus Mutar, or is it based on the texture of the fat? So Amar Abaye concludes, Maiti Baile, what's Yeshayla here? What's the second option? Nihi Deshari Bachila, Aduk Le Mahadik. Who cares if it's permitted? It doesn't make a difference whether it's us or mutter. It has to do with the texture. And since apparently some of the chela, the texture of the chela of the chaya, does not have the ability to stick, it certainly cannot be relied on to plug a hole. Says the Gemara now, Ahu nek of the sasma chela of tame. So it's certain a case, there's a hole that had been plugged by some non-mutter, some usher fat, it was presented to Rava, could this fat here, that was a chel of tameh, does it serve to seal off the hole? Amar Rava, Rava says, lemai nechishla, what's your concern here? Why would you think it would be usher? It's permitted, it's plugged. So chada number one is, the ha'amar of sheshes, chel of tameh nami sosim. Rav Sheshes is an opinion that holds, we don't care whether it's mutter or aser, all types of chalev has the ability to puncture, to plug the hole. So that's one reason to be mekel. Number two, od, ha-Torah chasa mamona m'shay Yisrael. The Torah all the time is mekel, is leaning on the money of Am Yisrael, and to have you throw out the animal because of a trefa, that would be a terrible thing. So based on these two ideas, I'm going to be mekel to you. So they weren't very pleased with this response. Amar le Papa le Rava, Rav v'isur deraisa. This is a deraisa, and you're vat Amar Satora chasam amon sheyisrael. This is going to be a terrible thing. Anytime that someone's losing money, oh, we don't want to, you accidentally bought the wrong product to sell. Your chef trafed up the kitchen, but you have like 50 customers waiting. You should feed them food, so you shouldn't lose 50 steaks that were trafed up. Certainly not. So what kind of hesber is that to say the chasma the Torah chasam amon sheyisrael? So then they end up saying, therefore, it's going to be Asr. You can't rely on it. Manumin Kanduka Igle, this is his name. He was Manumin. He was apparently a pottery dealer. Igle Bastaka Deduvsha. He had left the pot. A completely different topic right now. We're going to see it connects to the concept of the Torah's Chasa Mamonan Shel Yisrael. So we have here that he was one time, Igle Bastaka Deduvsha. He left over his honey pot overnight. And Asr Lakami, the Rabbi, he asked Rava, can I use this? Is it going to be Treif? Is it going to be Asr? Amarava Lamai Nechashla, what's your chashash? What's the concern here? Chada, number one, the Tanan, the Misha tells us, Misha Meshlosha Mashkin Nesru Mishim Gilur. There are only three liquids that are subject to lachas of being left out overnight. Hayayin, Vamayin, Vachalav. Wine, water, and milk. Visharka Mashkin Mutar. And all types of other liquids, and one of them being honey, are not subject to the Isser of Gilur. So the concern of Gilo is that a snake may have come by and left some of its venom, being dangerous. Apparently that's only a chashash, they only drink water, wine, and milk. But by honey and other types of drinks, they don't leave their venom behind. Or perhaps those liquids are able to neutralize the venom, but somehow it's only by three liquids, and this is not one of the three liquids. So it's certainly that's number one reason to permit it. Number two reason, the old, HaTorah Chasa Mamon and Yisrael. We need to be makel. For you to lose your big honey pot and to go to waste, we can't do that. And therefore, he permitted him to continue to eat or continue to sell the honey pot. So Amar Le Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lerava, Rabbi Shimon V'sakanta Nefashos. This is a dangerous sakana that perhaps a snake left its venom. Vat Amris HaTorah Chasa Mamon and Yisrael. You're going to rely on protecting someone's money over the danger of someone's life here, and therefore that's not a good reason to rely on the gila here. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Mahi, what's Rabbi Shimon here? We mentioned this din of Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara says, the Tani Rabbi Shimon apparently is machmir by gila. That the Braisa tells us that chamisha ein mehem mishum giloy. There are five types of liquids that are not subject to giloy. Every other liquid is. What are the five exceptions? Tzir, which is a brine, fish brine. Chometz, vinegar. Shemen is oil. Dvash, honey. Umurias is, I'm not sure exactly. Umurias is some type of liquid. I don't know. So the Gemara says, Amr b'Shimon, ani ra'isi nacha sheshas tzir b'tzidon. I once saw a snake drinking a fish brine. And we see that the, what? Rabbi Shimon Omer Afhein Yeshbam Mishim Gilei. This Rabbi Shimon holds that even these five liquids are subject to Gilei. He includes Dvash on the list. So this is a sakana that Rabbi Shimon holds that Nachash does leave its venom, does drink these liquids, and therefore it should be Aser. You shouldn't put someone's life in danger. So Amr Rabbi Shimon says, Ani Raisi Nachash Sheshasat Tzir B'Tzidon. I once observed a snake drinking some fish brine in a city called Tzidon. So Amr Lo, they said to him, Shati Havi, that was a crazy snake. No snakes don't drink brine, and therefore he can't bring a rye from that particular case. But either way, there's Rabbi Shimon who paskins that the dvash should be asur if it's left out overnight. Halach lemaisa, we assume that the things left out overnight, the Tosfos writes and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, were not concerned. It's brought down in Piskei Tshuva that some alpi Kabbalah are choshesh, but alpi metzias, where the dinners were not concerned with things left out overnight, even water and even milk and even wine. There's a discussion in Tosfos why that's allowed. If the Chacham created a gzeira of an Isser Giloy, how could later on generations say, oh, now it's permitted, we could just do away with the Isser? The Tosafot says a few different reasons. Number one is, whenever the Gemara tells you the reason why, batal tam, batal gzeira. When the Torah tells you, the Gemara tells you the reason, so that means the reason is built into the tam, to the gzeira. Once the tam's no longer relevant, neither is the gzeira. That's one shot of Tosos. Number two, Tosos suggests that initially when they made the gzeira, it was built in such a way that only where there are snakes did they create the gzeira. But any place where there are no snakes, or any place where there will no longer be snakes at some point, are not subject to the iser as well. Fine. Gemara now says, going weiter. Amr le, he says back to him, so we're talking about there's still the honeypots. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman felt that Rava was being too makel. So Rava says, Odi li, you'll admit to me at least mias betzir, at least with regards to the fish brine. So we do not follow Rabbi Shimon, meaning there is not, the brine should not be subject to gila. You can leave fish brine overnight and still eat it the next day. Why? The Hara Papa, Rav Huna, Brei Dev Yeshua, V'Rabbanan, Ki Hava Lehu Giluya, Shadu Lehu Betzir. When they had something left out overnight, they would just pour tzir in it, and that would neutralize it. If there were any venom in it, that would be like the antidote to getting rid of the venom, because it's so potent. So now if the tzira that has the ability to neutralize the venom, certainly it's going to ward off the snake in the first place. And that was his assumption. Our Malay Rav Nachman says back to him, Odi li mia bedvash, you'll admit to me at least that with regards to the honey, that we do follow the view of Rabbi Shimon, that we should be machmir. Why? The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar kai kivasei. Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Shimon that by dvash there is giloy. The Tani, the Braita, tells us, V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar oser bedvash. So it comes out, at least from the end of the discussion here, is that everyone's going to be makel by tzir, and everyone's going to be machmir by dvash, and certainly wine, water, and milk as well, once we machmir. But as I said in the Shulchan Aruch is very makel with regards to giloy, unless a person has certain Kabbalistic psakim or a chassidish psakim, whereby there is room to be machmir as well.
You would think that by dvash, because like we said, like treif, like we said, we say the Gemara somewhere.
Yeah, but that's a davar iser, not by a sakan. There's a difference between iser. As you're referring to, there's a Rush that talks about, let's say, how could you have honey? There are different parts of the bee. Bees are, of course, usr, as an insect, but the wings and the legs get stuck all the time in it. So the Rush has this chiddush, and others say this as well, that the honey has the ability, its unique nature, to turn even davar iser into davar heter, but that's only by davar iser. But in terms of sakana, so that we can't play games with here. Exactly, yeah, that's the Gemara Chula in the first parak, we mentioned that, right. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Chelev, when it comes to Chelev, ha'aswe kechova eino sosem. So there's some type of a kova, like a head, a fat, that cannot seal, because the texture of the way it's, I guess, had this little bend in it, doesn't have the ability to fit into, plug a hole. So hey, where exactly do you find such a shaped fat in the body of the animal? Some say chite de karkisha. Apparently it's chite, like a wheat-like in nodules. I don't know how to pronounce that word.
Nodules,
okay. Nodules of fat on the rectum, okay. So that's one explanation where it refers to. And amrila, others say tarpisha de liba, some type of fat on the heart, which they say here in the article is, help me out, pericardium.
Good.
Okay, excellent, beautiful. So these are different types of fats in the body that have a helmet, a kova shape, and they don't have the ability to be so the same. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Shmas Mina de Rav Nachman Tarti. We learn from Rav Nachman two dinim. One is, it is a different statement now. I heard two things from him. Number one is Chimsa, and there's Bar Chimsa. Chad Sasim and Chad Lo Sasim. There's one fat that's described as Chimsa, and there's another fat that's called Bar Chimsa. And one of them has the ability to plug a hole, and one doesn't have the ability to seal a hole. I don't know which is which. So Gemara explains, Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Rav Huna Brei de Rav Nachman Amr, they say, Bar Chimsa Sasim Chimsa Lo Sasim. Whatever is Bar Chimsa, I don't know what that is, but whatever that Bar Chimsa is, that the one that can seal. The Chimsa does not have the ability to seal. So which one is which, though? Amr Rav Tavis, Rav Tavis says, V'simanach, the mnemonic to remember this is, Yafek Kach Aben Mikach Av. The power of the son is greater than the power of the father. That's why Bar Chimsa seals, and Chimsa Stam doesn't seal. But still, which is Bar Chimsa, which is not, which is regular Chimsa? Asks the Gemara, hey Chimsa, hey Bar Chimsa. So Tashma, the Amar of Nachman, explained the Inu Michli Achli. Can it be? Is it possible that in Eretz Yisrael they eat this type of fat? And however, Lididan here in Bavel missed a Nami Los Asim, but we hold it doesn't even plug, it doesn't even seal it. So how could that be? If it's a kosher fat, it should have the ability to close as well. It should be able to seal off. So they eat it, and we don't even rely on it to seal. So the Gemara explains that we see from here, though, that Bar Chimsa is referring to whatever the machlokas between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael were, whatever that was, that fat that he's describing, that's the Bar Chimsa that has the ability to seal. That's what comes from all this. The Gemara says, now just to clarify the machlokas between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, the fat that's of the bow, shows in the picture, which is part of the bow and the animal, so that everyone agrees it's usher. It doesn't have the it's usher to eat. Keep pligi, when is there machlokes? The isre, which is the bow string, the fat of the bow string, that's the machlokes, where in Eretz Yisrael they would eat it, and in Bavel they wouldn't eat it. Ikadami, others say, the isre kuliyama lo pligi the shari. No, the fat of the bow string is certainly permitted according to both. When do they argue? De akasha, when it comes to the fat of the regular bow, that's where there's debate. But that's a machlokas, that point of the Eretz Yisrael Bavel, that's the Bar Chimsa, debating whether it has the ability to seal or not seal. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll...